The Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. With myself, Mo Amunsi, alongside me as always, the two-time NBA champion head coach, Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mo. I got energy. I'm ready to go.
You know, I had to come today.
Unlike the OKC Thunder.
Oh, hell yeah. See, I had to come today in my thobe, right? Number one, Eid Mubarak to everyone who celebrated Eid the other day. But number two, Wemby was wearing the same thing on his way into the arena ahead of this.
Yeah.
Mashallah, brother Wemby.
I'll tell you what.
He was dialed in.
Yeah, he, you know, that's what great players do. And that's what the playoffs reveal, true character. And the Spurs, they are a resilient bunch. We'll talk about game seven, but I'll tell you what, the last two home games for them, big time. And after they played badly in games three and games five, they came out and they corrected their mistakes.
Yep.
It's a good team. Good teams do that.
For anyone who missed it, the San Antonio Spurs were facing elimination and they beat the OKC Thunder in game six at home, 118-91. The series, of course, goes to Oklahoma City for the game seven because they got the one seed. But let's talk about this game right here. And the first thing that jumps off the page, Coach, is the free throws. OKC shot 12 free throws as a team. Shea only got to the line three times, made all his free throws, but finished with 15 points on 6 of 18 shooting. How about that? After all the talk about officiating after the previous game, the Spurs get to the line 25 times tonight. Do you think that was a little home advantage, or do you think this is something? I saw the assistant coaches working out with Carl Bryant, teaching him how OKC are going to flop and exaggerate contact and how he can avoid it.
Yeah, I think an elimination game, you are desperate if you're a good team, and boy, they were. They played with, you know, amazing urgency, toughness, resilience, and they brought the fight to them, and so they deserved it in a big way. Everyone was physical, everyone was tough,
crushed them on the glass.
Yeah, I mean, that's, sure, they took a lot of threes. And I'll tell you, in the first half, my opinion, they took so many bad shots, the Spurs. They bailed them out. But if they take that ball to the basket, I think they can really cause problems for them. Get to the foul line.
Yeah. They had a nice lift off the bench. Dylan Harper had 18 coming in off the bench. A quiet night scoring the basketball-wise for De'Aaron Fox, 1 of 9 from the field, only 5 points. He looks definitely injured, so credit to him for playing through that injury.
It's funny, they Michael C. Wright, who's the ESPN beat writer down there in San Antonio, he did a big story on, talk about, I hate these things, they did a big story on Fox and his wife and kids, how he's the closer. And he hasn't played worth a damn since that article came out the other day. You know,
it's funny how life
works. The articles after the season.
Yeah, it was a fascinating game. OKC never had the lead tonight. The first time that's happened to them in a playoff game since 2016, where they played against the San Antonio Spurs. How about that? But of course, San Antonio getting the win means another game seven. How many game sevens is that now, Coach, in this playoffs?
Ooh, that's a good question. Wow, good question.
I think it's five game sevens, because we had Pistons Magic, Cavs Raptors, Pistons Cavs, that's three, Sixers Celtics, that's four, and now this will be the fifth game seven that we have.
And the first one for OKC and San Antonio this year, right?
Yep, absolutely. And I just checked, this is tied for the most since 2016, five game sevens in the NBA. So before we get to talking about game seven, Coach, I wanted to ask you this. I can't remember if I asked you this or not. When it comes to the conversation around the flopping or the selling of foul calls, so on and so forth, a lot of people say that these players nowadays are coached to exaggerate contact and try and get these calls from refs. Now, as someone who coaches the coaches, and your clientele is amongst almost all the coaches in the NBA, is this something you speak to coaches about? What do they say about it? And is it something that they encourage? Or is it more that their personal player development trainers are the ones that are teaching them to sell this contact?
You're talking about the offensive player flopping?
Yes.
Yeah. I've never taught it. I've never had a coach that I work with taught it, to be honest with you. I think it's an individual player thing. But I'll be honest with you. If you're not a great player, a really good player, you're rarely going to get a foul call on what you're calling a flop. And I understand what everyone's talking about, Shea. He might trick a ref once or twice a game. You know, that's fine. But the guy, he takes an amazing number of shots, and he's so good at what he does. He just knows how to do it. I mean, he falls when he has contact. He's not as strong. He's not like Jordan, where he's built like crazy. He's kind of a lean guy. So I think, he's very good at contorting his body. And then he does something which I hate players doing. He falls. And when you fall, I don't like it because you can break a wrist. You can break fingers. And I don't like that. I don't like to fall. I don't advise players falling. I really don't.
So here's the thing. I had this conversation today, and I said, if I was on Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's team, if I was his management, agent, or even the brand team at Converse, do you know what I would make him do this summer? Because it's such a shame that so much of the conversation around these Converse finals and these playoffs and the Thunder in general is all about flopping. I would make him go to Rucker Park and ball out. Because this is a thing that NBA stars used to do. Kobe did it. KD did it. Everyone's been to Rucker Park. They don't really do that anymore. I think he should go to Rucker Park and play and just showcase the fact that he's a hooper and he don't need the NBA refs to allow him to score. And that's what I would do. Because after that, all of this flop, he sent a cease and desist to Underdog Sports for the, I don't know if you saw the commercial with Dylan Brooks. That was pretty funny. They made like an operation style game with essentially what looks like Shea, so they got a cease and desist for his name and likeness.
Sure.
But that's what I would do if I was on Shea's team. I'd say, Shea, listen, you're playing New York in the finals. If you get there, if you go beat New York, think about the cultural impact of a moment of beating the Knicks in the finals, then going to Rucker Park and whooping everyone there too. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think when you're the two-time MVP, you don't have to do that. And the guy plays 100-plus games a year, so I wouldn't advise it.
It's just one more game.
I wouldn't do it, especially as outdoor courts and stuff like that. I wouldn't. But I understand.
Understand if he was to do that, no one could ever call him a flopper again because he will go there and drop 50.
Hey, he's a supermax player, he's got everything and he's got championships and he's got.
Yeah, they call players assets nowadays. I don't like it because now the asset's too valuable to risk. Whereas back when Kobe was playing or whatever, they were saying, hell no, I'm going to go play. But I digress. Let's get to game seven.
Yes, you did.
I'm leaning to OKC at home in game seven because that's such a big advantage being at home. The refs, as I mentioned earlier, they do slightly favor the home teams, whether we want to admit it or not. The home teams have.
They don't. They favored a team that plays harder. And tonight, San Antonio played harder. Trust me.
Yeah.
I've been in 3,000 of them NBA games.
I've been in zero, so I will concede. Yeah.
No, but you think they do.
But that's how it seems.
Teams play better usually at home. Yeah. Except Detroit.
The Boston Celtics. Oh, and Detroit.
Yeah. Boston Celtics. Yeah. So, I mean, and the refs, I'll be honest with you. They don't care who wins. College refs, totally different story. College refs are intimidated. EuroLeague refs, totally intimidated.
We're not going to go down that path.
No, I'm
right
saying
now.
Different. Not these guys.
So how are you feeling about this game seven? Who are you leaning towards and what are you looking out for?
I think now these guys have got, the Spurs have gotten healthy. Jay Will did not impress me at all tonight. And what he did coming back at all, he was walking on seashells.
J-Dub.
Yeah.
Because Jay Will is the center. J-Dub came back tonight, played 10 minutes, 1 point, 1 of 2 from the free throw line.
That really worries me.
One assist, 2 turnovers, minus really 18 worries. In his 10 minutes.
Because they really need a perimeter player because they got so many weapons, San Antonio.
Yep.
At that side.
They need either J-Dub or A.J. Mitchell. They need at least one of them to be firing.
Yeah.
Without that, the offense is really, really struggling.
I don't think
struggling.
Mitchell.
Well, Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks got a broken pinky finger, which might keep him out for the finals. It's an undisclosed timeline of when he's returning.
Won't affect his shooting, though.
Imagine this, though. Imagine with his broken finger, he starts shooting 100% of the line. Then they would have to, like, come into training camp every season, put his hand on a table, just get a hammer, and just smash his pinky finger every season. That'd be the only way. You couldn't deny the logic.
Yeah. No, I was sad to see that, and hopefully he'll be able to participate.
The irony, I was thinking about this with the Knicks being in the finals, is Jeremy Sochan from the UK, who the Spurs cut earlier this season, has somehow ended up in the NBA finals without playing a minute in the playoffs. Shout out to Jeremy, man. Might end up with a ring out of all of this as well. Who knows? So what's your prediction for Game 7, Coach?
Oh, boy. So we have a pretty damn good audience around the world listening, correct?
Yeah, that's true. We have the best audience in all sports.
Well, you know my feeling. I always favor the home team. But this year seems like it's a little bit of an outlier with what happened to Boston and Detroit.
Boston lost Game 7 at home. Detroit lost Game 7 at home. And the Cavs beat the Raptors in their Game 7 at home, and the Pistons beat the Magic in their Game 7 at home. So it's 2-2. It's 500 right now.
I like San Antonio. I really do. I think the guy, when I saw the Monk come out with his, he said, Kelly Olynyk, you bought us all nice suits. Forget them. I ain't wearing it tonight. I'm getting my hair cut. I'm coming Monk style.
That wasn't Monk style, bro. That was a Moroccan thobe that he was wearing. That wasn't no Shaolin.
That was really a powerful statement. I think the guy is incredibly focused. You don't have any answers for him when he plays like this. Mm. There's no answers for this guy. And if they can bring their intensity as a group, Dylan Harper and Castle.
How about 9 assists and only 1 turnover for Steph Castle tonight?
Yeah, I mean, since he had the 20 in the first 2 games, he's really done a good job. And I'll tell you what, his defense, he's tough.
He's my favorite defender to watch. I'm not saying he's the best defender in the NBA, but he's my favorite to watch right now.
And Vasile is really playing D.
Yeah.
He's shifted to, which is really smart, he's shifting to guard Shea a lot.
Yep.
You know.
A little bit more size, more height on.
Yeah, and also keep the other guy out of foul trouble.
Yeah, I like what Vasile and Champagne are doing as role players on this team. You know, I think they're playing fantastic basketball.
They really are.
Champagne making $3 million this year, which is absolutely amazing production. Carter Bryant, rookie, getting good minutes in the NBA playoffs. He's taking turns at guarding Shea as well. They just got guys stepping up, and I'm here for it.
I think we're going to see, you know what you love? Everyone said these two best teams in the league.
Yeah.
And we're getting them for 7 games. That's phenomenal.
I canceled my Saturday night plans because I want to watch this Game 7. That's a big deal, Coach.
I won't say anything. I was going to say, the game will end early. No, but the game will end late for you.
Yeah, this is my prime time hours, baby.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
1 a.m. till 4 a.m.
You might have to start early on Saturday. You might have to have a pregame.
That's what OG told me. Get your work done early. Get your work done early. I might have to have a matinee myself and then be ready for the game in the evening. So what's really interesting is the Spurs are this team that are built around a number one pick in Wemby, a number two pick in Harper, what was Castle?
Four.
The NBA just made it so that can't ever happen again. They passed the Board of Governors vote 29-1, with Memphis being the lone team voting against the new 3-2-1 lottery system, which essentially gives the bottom three teams worse odds than the teams that are in the middle of the pack near the bottom. Which, we've talked about this before, Coach. Under the new system, the worst three teams are going to have a 5.4% chance of the number one pick. Teams 4 through 10 will have an 8.1% chance. So a significantly better chance of getting number one pick. And then the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. So basically the two number 10 seeds and the two number 9 seeds. They have the same odds of getting the number one pick as the worst three teams in the league. And to make it even better, teams who lose the 7-8 play-in, right? So you can play the 7-8 play-in, lose.
15 and 16, technically.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a 2.7% chance of getting number one pick. So you can lose the first play-in game, win the second one, make it to the playoffs, and still have a shot at number one overall.
Yeah. Well, I watched a special with Adam Silver last night, and
was that on the guys always standing up on ESPN? What's his name?
Pat McAfee show.
See, I usually don't say good things about ESPN. That was fantastic. He had the commissioner from every sports league on his show to talk about what's working and what's not working. Fantastic from ESPN.
He's our version of you here. He's very young, former NFL player. Very cool, doesn't make believe he knows everything, but he's very relatable to the common audience person, you know? Mm-hmm. And he talks like you and I would talk if we were in a pub on TV and gets away with it.
That's crazy.
And he has the highest ratings of anyone on TV.
Yeah, because he wears the vest and all of that. I love it.
He drops F-bombs.
Yeah, he does a lot of WWE stuff as well. I've seen him.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's crazy, part crazy. But the commissioners all love him because he loves sports.
Yeah.
And you know who watches him? The young people in our country.
Yeah.
The young demographics watch. So McAfee is, but he... That's how much respect they all came on. Adam Silver was phenomenal on there, and I thought it was a hell of an idea. And the show only came about because the Knicks swept.
Yeah, it was the prime time slate that was free, and
the time had already been sold to the sponsors, and so they're coming up with ideas for and tomorrow night. They'll have another idea, you know.
And it's fantastic because his show was live streamed on Twitter. Or X, whatever you call it. Because obviously I don't get ESPN here, so I just watched it on there, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's social media-wise, he's always been way ahead. YouTube's every show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he licenses himself to ESPN.
To ESPN.
You know, so
maybe that's where we've been going wrong, coach.
He's the highest paid guy in all of television.
Yeah, maybe I should take some notes. But yeah, so we saw Adam Silver on there talking about
he was great, and Adam, I think he explained it. This was a big problem, and we're now incentivizing winning.
Yeah, he compared it to relegation. So the bottom three teams.
And I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. And here's the thing, Mo. What you find out when you're an employee of a league, you know, and I was for 40 plus years, you don't get to make the rules.
Yep.
So you know what? You abide by them. And so, you can bitch and moan all you want about them, but you know what? I've been in it when the envelopes, all of a sudden we accuse someone of the envelopes being a little dry eyed, and the Knicks get Patrick Ewing and all that. There's always been conspiracy theories with that in every
sport. Yeah, I mean, there's always conspiracy theories. Like, of course, it's a complete coincidence that the Knicks get Patrick Ewing and the Cavs get LeBron James and the Bulls get Derrick Rose. And then the Mavs trade their superstar to LA and get given the number one pick. The New Orleans Pelicans trade their star player to LA and they get the number one pick. Of course, these are not real fixes. These are just conspiracy theories made up by crazy people. Like, you got to be crazy to think that anything like that was ever rigged. Who would ever think that?
No, this is a great league with people full of integrity, so that absolutely doesn't happen.
Yes.
And I
have, Coach, let me ask you this.
I have a long time pension from this league too, so I know they wouldn't mess with my pension. So
yes, let me ask you this. Did you think about the second round of the draft and think that anything needs changing in there?
No, it's so many second-round picks are traded there. Not really, to be honest with you. That is straight based on how you finish.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, personally. Unfortunately for you, they've changed it. This was a detail included, is that the top half of the second round would be the reverse order of the top 16 drawn in the first round after the lottery is drawn. So 16th pick will have the number one pick in the second round. 31. 15th will have the second, and so on and so forth.
I never saw that till you're telling me that.
I saw this reported today by Mike Vorkunov, a basketball reporter for The Athletic. So it's a pretty reputable source.
No, I just hadn't heard
so
that.
So you can be a play-in team, get pick number 16 and pick number 31 and be in the playoffs instead of missing the play-in, getting 16 and 46.
It's dramatic.
That's
very dramatic.
And then you could be the worst team in the NBA and fall down to the 16th overall pick, but at least you get the 31st pick for all your troubles, right?
Maybe that's why they did it, to protect teams. Yeah.
Okay. There's a few things here. The rule that they also put in was that no one can get back to back number one pick or pick in a top five for 3 years in a row.
Right.
Without that, San Antonio wouldn't exist as we know it.
Right.
Okay. So what you're doing is, I get it, you want to promote winning and avoid people tanking. There will be teams who stink, and there is no way for them to improve, because they might get one top five pick, but then they're banned for the next year, that they can't do it. Losing happens in all sports, and it's not always tanking. We are going on this new proposal that all these teams are tanking. All these teams are not tanking. Some of them just stink, okay? And the worst teams now have a worse chance of being able to improve. So it's disincentivized tanking, but it's a very harsh punishment on teams. For example, our friends at the Sacramento Kings. They inherited that mess. They didn't try and lose games on purpose for a draft pick. The team that they got employed to run was just terrible, okay? So these guys are being punished for that thing. And then the other thing, and the reason why it was a 29-1 vote, is that the Grizzlies voted against, because they got Utah's pick for next year in the Jaren Jackson deal. And if it lands in a top five, it is going to be given to them at six. So the best that pick could be is six. The worst it could be is 16.
Yeah. Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. So here's those are tough things, really tough things. But my thing is simply, very simply, is that we have to just, you know, you try to win even though it's hard to, and then you just got to live by the rules and stuff like that. And I think it's difficult, but I think, you know, here's the part I wanted to tell you, Mo. We have legitimate, as opposed to, I don't know how UK works, we have in our government here, we have a Congress that votes on laws. Okay.
Yes.
NBA is way better. All 30 owners only have a vote on everything.
Yes.
So we bring a rule to them and we vote on it, and 2/3 of the people have to say yay or nay.
Yeah.
And I like that. So the people that actually own the teams, they are making the rules for their league. And so that's their business, not my business. I work for them.
Yes.
I understand your perspective is outstanding and as far as fairness, but we don't own teams. So they think that's good.
Fine. I hear what you're saying, but this is what I don't understand, right? So now you're not allowed to tank, okay? So you don't have to be the worst team in the NBA. You just have to not be a bottom three team in the NBA. So what you're going to do is you're going to win a bunch of games at the end of the year or win a bunch of games at the start of the year and then just tank anyway like you would, right? So here's the problem. You can't tank. Free agency barely exists anymore.
Right.
So let's say you do pick a good player in a draft. Right. Say you find a steal in the second round. The new CBA makes it harder for you to retain that talent if they're a max quality player. Yeah. Trades are now more difficult with the way these picks are. It's less of a guarantee on a trade, so teams will be less willing to trade those picks. How the hell are you supposed to build a team?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what they made a decision how they want to run their league. But I think, I think we got to give it a shot, see what happens. The beauty is that if, you know, they don't like it, it's not working in a few years, they'll change it. But I think we got to, we'll give it a shot and see what happens. I think your points are incredibly valid, but
yeah, I'm not going to do my usual rant about.
We got enough problems in our country to worry. In our country, we worry about other than the NBA lottery and the draft and taking. My point is this: is that in any league, in any sport in the world, Premier League soccer, there's always going to be a team that finishes first. There's always going to be teams that finish last. It's the way competition works. And I know we have relegation there. You can't relegate NBA teams, obviously. But I think the biggest thing right now is that they're trying to eliminate the really poor behavior by teams of gaining that advantage. Because whyever they did it, you and I talked about it this year, whyever they did it, these teams, I'm not going to put it all in the analytics, folks, though I think they're as – Adam said yes last night. Analytics people have basically said it's a strategy for them to get a high pick. We don't need those guys anymore to strategize that. I'm just saying that. You need analytics people for different things, but not. Don't tell me about not to win.
I mean, there's that. There's also the fact that tanking messes up the odds and the gambling companies that the league is in bed with
now. We pointed that down during the year.
Yeah, and we're not going to go down that road. And in completely unrelated news, Terry Rozier has been in a hearing today, and he took a 100K bribe to throw a game and sub himself out in the first quarter. We're not going to go down that road. That's a completely unrelated news story. And only a conspiracy theorist would think that these two things are linked in any way, shape, or form. So we're not going to do that. What we are going to do, Coach, what we are going to do is I want to go back to talking about this series because I'm tired of the tanking and the draft and whatever.
I mean, we were just reporting the news.
Yeah. Let's go back to the basketball.
Sure.
I've loved every second of this series, OKC San Antonio, right? It's been physical. It's been a heated rivalry. These two teams dislike each other, so on and so forth. When was the last time you enjoyed a playoff series as much as this one in recent memory? Because I think that this is a series that we're going to talk about for years. It's like that 2016.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't think so because there have been blowouts in several of the games.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying, right?
But there have been blowouts.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, either this is the series that Wemby got to his first NBA Finals and his first run in the playoffs by knocking off the champs in Game 7 on the road.
100%.
Or this becomes part of the law of, well, this is his first shot in the playoffs, couldn't get over the hurdle. The same way Mike had the hurdle of your Pistons, the same way LeBron had the hurdle of the Celtics, and then the Thunder in that storyline become that hurdle for Wembanyama to have to surpass. This is what I'm saying is, I think that this series, historically, when they do the Wembanyama documentary 50 years from now, this is going to be a major factor. And the fact that the games, some of them have been blowouts, is not going to be remembered. What's going to be remembered is the intensity at which they competed in this series.
If the Game 7 is a real Game 7 tight game, then you're 100% right.
100%. Game 7s have been pretty bad this year, haven't they?
That's what I'm saying. If it's a blowout, no. But if it's a memorable Game 7 or if the Spurs win, it's legendary.
This is what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, that's what I agree.
It leads me to my next question. Because I just told you about LeBron and Mike and so on and so forth, right? Every great player has had a team that they've had to overcome in their quest to get their first championship. Do you think that, because I had a take the other day, I can't remember if I put it on TikTok or not. I said, if Wemby wins a championship this year, there's going to be an unemployment crisis. Because Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, Nick Wright, all these guys who spend all day and get paid billions of dollars, who every day turn up to work and do LeBron versus Jordan, LeBron versus Jordan. I said, if Wembanyama gets to the finals on his first crack and wins the finals somehow, that LeBron and Jordan talk is out of window. I don't want to hear it again. Because this, what right now is unprecedented. Yeah, I know Magic, but look at the Lakers team he was on. He had Kareem on his team. Come on now. This is the first time that I've seen, correct me if I'm wrong and I'm forgetting about someone, or there's probably someone way back when, but in recent memory, we have never seen a player in their first run at the playoffs do what he could potentially do.
My first year in the league.
Who was it?
Larry Bird. Won the championship his first year.
How can I forget? But
No, but I'm saying, but you're absolutely right. You're putting him in stratosphere. That's the point.
This is the company he's going to keep.
Yeah, and Larry Bird was older even.
Exactly, because he came out of college after
five years
of college. There you go.
Yeah.
This is a kid who's come from France. He didn't play college basketball.
No, he's pulled up from Paris. This would be absolutely legendary. And the kid's overcome a lot. He's played more minutes in this series than he's played in any game this year, many of the games. That's incredible, you know. And you know what? Every day has not been beautiful. He struggled a couple of games. He had the best first game you ever wanted to see, put him up in cloud nine, and then next game, not so good. Game three, okay. Game four, outrageous. Game five, awful. Game six, and if he comes with a game seven, woo. But what you're going to see is you're going to see a guy that's going to become the MVP in the finals if he wins.
Yeah.
Which is really something.
Yeah, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because I do think there's a strong possibility Oklahoma win this game seven. But this is what I mean. Like,
it's a toss-up. That makes it legendary. You're absolutely right.
To get back to my original point of why I'm saying all of this.
Yes.
We can talk about the tanking. We can talk about the flopping. But we need to celebrate the fact that we are literally watching history being written in front of our eyes. And I think so much of the conversation of this playoffs has gotten away from that. We are literally watching a legend being created. They're going to say, the kids are going to say, I'm glazing. But we are watching history being made. And that's the beautiful part for me. Whether they win or lose, it's going to go in the history books as a chapter. And the fact that on your first playoff run, you're even taking the reigning champs to a game seven, for me, sensational.
You know, it's amazing too. NBC, our new television partner, who was a big television partner when I was coaching, they have broken all of the records. Prime has just annihilated stuff, and our ratings are through the roof in the NBA now. And with New York now in the finals, it's going to be insane. It doesn't matter who's playing them.
This is what I think about a lot because, I had a call with a company today who were looking into researching basketball and its popularity in the rest of the world outside of America. And a lot of it is a player-heavy sport, more so than NFL where there's so many players. There's only five guys out there. So individual brilliance has more of a chance to shine through.
And no helmet on, we can see their faces. Yeah.
And I said, here's the thing. Basketball in the rest of the world, obviously Magic and Bird, fantastic. Jordan, box office. Kobe, LeBron, so on and so forth. Sure. But in recent years, in the social media era, Steph Curry has been the guy that has turned people who weren't basketball fans into basketball fans. When people got used to Steph Curry, because that was 10 years ago now. 2015 was over 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean? There was no one after Steph that people saw and were like, wow, what is this? What am I watching? This kid right here, he's the next one to take it to a next level. And the fact that he's not even from America makes it even higher up. Do you get what I'm saying? You're seeing something you've never seen before. So I'm enjoying it, even if some games are blowouts.
Steph Curry is someone the size of many people in the world.
Yep.
And he looked like a baby, And now this guy is someone bigger than anyone we've ever seen that has a skill set like a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. That's a great, great point on your part.
Yeah, I wanted to get back some positivity. I'm tired of all the flopping talk and all the tanking talk. I want to keep it.
Got to get you back on track. You know what I'm saying? You're tired, but you're a gamer. You have great resilience. You perform no matter what the hour is, My man.
Let's wrap things up. All right. That's been another episode of the podcast. We'll be back after game seven. breaking it down and previewing the NBA finals for you. I cannot
next
wait.
Wednesday, June 3rd start. Oh, I can't. These
and
next
I will be on the call with Amazon Prime, and usually I'm just commentating with my voice, but you will actually see me because I recorded a little clip that they asked me to do. So you'll see me in a pregame show, Coach.
Awesome.
So excited for that. The NBA Finals is going to be electric. Game 7 is going to be electric. Whatever you're doing on Saturday night, get it wrapped up by 1 a.m. And tune in.
Speak for yourself.
I was going to say, you got to get it wrapped up before 1 a.m. 1 a.m. you got to stop and come watch the game. But I digress. Sorry. If you're listening to this with your kids in the car, I apologize. Hopefully they didn't get the reference. But
That's the guy from the UK talking.
How could you tell? What gave it away? I'm not even going to attempt an American accent. That's been another episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, get buckets.